Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. My guest this morning is Democratic State Senator John Funfara of Hartford. We're going to be discussing a comprehensive bill that he crafted, and it has also received a little bipartisan support, too, for changing how we buy power, how we pay for it, as we face high electric bills and rates here in the state of Connecticut. It's been an issue that we've been following so closely this legislative session, and I'm excited to have the conversation with him this morning. Senator, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Morgan. Thanks for having me.
You recently held a press conference at the state capitol in Hartford that got a lot of attention. A lot of lawmakers showed up. A lot of media showed up. People from the public were paying close attention to it, in which you unveiled your plan on how to lower electric bill costs in the state of Connecticut. And we're going to dig into a number of aspects of it throughout the next 24 minutes. But I'd like you to just give me a taste of what's in this bill and kind of summarize it for the beginning of our conversation.
Essentially, what this bill does is it recognizes and makes costs central as a policy of the state of Connecticut, cost of electricity. That's not the case today, Morgan. This bill immediately reacts and responds to what the public has been calling for, which and asking about, why am I paying so much for public benefits? And that's right now between approximately 25% of the bill. And they're seeing that now where they hadn't before, because the bill has been, for residential customers anyway, has been redesigned to break out the various four sectors of the bill: supply, transmission, distribution, and lastly, public benefits. And that one is sticking out like a sore thumb for a couple of reasons. One, because for the first time, people are seeing it and asking, what does that have to do with me and my usage of electricity in my home or my business? And secondly, because there have been some additions to that that portion of the bill recently that have caused it to go up quite a bit. We remove the public benefits in our bill, and we bond for that for 3 years, giving us time to implement the rest of the bill, which I believe will necessitate that some of those costs don't have to come back on the bill. If we're growing the amount of kilowatt hours in the system, which our bill does call for, we can absorb more of those costs without having rates go up. And I know it's counterintuitive in terms of what we've been taught, which is to conserve, and we're not in any way denigrating that or discouraging that. It's just that there's a recognition of the math, which is cost, that revenue and sales of kilowatt hours in the system, how much we use in our home, how much we use in a business, must grow greater than costs do. Right now, that's been flipped. But secondly, the system is incredibly inefficient, Morgan, inefficient in terms of how we buy power for those who are still on standard service. 80% of residential customers in Connecticut with Eversource and UI remain on standard service. 50% of businesses remain on standard service. That was not the expectation when we deregulated back in 1999. So 25 years we've been operating under this incredibly inefficient system of how we buy power and provide it to customers. And so our bill calls for a reform of that to use, and some people know about CMEC, may not know that title, but they certainly know there are about six towns in Connecticut that are municipal electrics. In other words, they're not part of the UI or Eversource system. They generate and transmit and distribute electricity on their own system. And for various reasons, their costs are significantly lower. But one of them is how they procure or buy electricity. They have people who sit desk every day and aggressively look for opportunities on how to buy. We do not do that for standard service customers. Remember, 80% of residential, 50% of commercial. So we significantly reform that part of the bill in terms of how we address it. And we believe we can cut as much as 50% of that part of the bill by procuring in a different way and removing certain costs from that part of the bill. We also reform how we manage and operate the transmission and distribution side of the bill. That's approximately 40% of the bill, those two sectors combined, and it's 50% efficient. We do not give customers the ability to take action on how, and more importantly, when they use electricity, and reward them for that by saying, if you use power these hours, many, many more hours of the day and week and month, and don't use it during these very few hours, you will be rewarded by lowering your bill. I think most people understand this. They might drive a mile or so more if they know that gasoline, the gas station, is 5 cents less. They go from one supermarket to another. I do. I know one's better for this, one's better for that, and we shop. We do this all the time. But for Connecticut, we have refused to implement effective rates that would incentivize customers, give them the tools. So that's an overview of what we're trying to tackle here. I think if the public understood how inefficiently the system is being operated, I think people would be quite upset if they knew how inefficient the system is and why we are not taking steps to make it efficient, wring out every cost we can. And it's within our grasp. It's not like 5 or 10 years from now. It's right now. We believe fully implemented, this legislation will reduce customers' bills by 40%. That's a significant reduction. May not be the lowest in the country, but we'll be far more competitive than we are today.
You're just joining us on Face Connecticut. My guest is Democratic State Senator John Fonfara of Hartford, who has produced this bill, this comprehensive bill, to really radically change, in a way, how we buy power, how we pay for it in Connecticut to combat high electricity rates. I do want to point out that a lot of the conversation that I've heard up until your bill came out, and I think you were kind of working in secrecy on this thing, it would seem, because so many people were talking about, do we add nuclear, do we add, whatever it is, all these years out into the future to address supply, and you're looking at the system that we have now to see how we can change it immediately, and these would appear to be plans that could be enacted rather quickly and not have to worry about, okay, can we pass another nuclear plant in the 2030s?
We will reduce rates by 20% immediately. We bond for the public benefit charges, and people say, why are we doing that? Well, first of all, government can bond at the lowest rate of anybody. The full faith and credit of the taxpayer of Connecticut is behind that, and so the state can borrow. But more importantly, it enables us to buy some time. We're not saying no to the public benefit charges. Let that debate happen. Let the legislature decide, along with input from stakeholders, as to how much, if any, of those things should be on the bill. But we're not saying no to them. We're just saying we're going to pay for them differently, many of which should never have been on the bill in the first place. But over time, these things get added, and they build up, and they build up, and build up. We reduce the bill by 20% by moving those costs off and onto bonding, giving us time to make some decisions. I also believe, because we must increase the sales of electricity, and we'll get into how we do that in the bill shortly, but by increasing sales on the bill, we can absorb many of the costs that are currently in public benefit charges without having this hit on ratepayers to pay for it.
How do these bonds work? Is it taxpayer money? Is it investor money?
Yeah, taxpayers pay for it in the budget. We bond every year over $1 billion in new expenditures, and that's what that is. Where Connecticut says these investments have long-term value, and therefore we will spread the cost of repaying that. Yes, there's interest involved, but we spread them out over 20 years and enables us to advance how the investments that Connecticut makes in our infrastructure, in our economy, and doing it in a way that's prudent. I believe getting electricity costs down is prudent. It's a positive investment for the state of Connecticut. We're only doing it for 3 years, Morgan, but it gives us time to implement the rest of the bill that will allow us to bring some of those things back onto the bill if the legislature decides it should. By then we'll have increased the amount of kilowatt hour sales in the system and therefore can absorb those costs without impacting the bill any further.
I'd like to move on to procurement, which is kind of a fancy word for buying electricity. Okay, so this is, my understanding is that this is Eversource UI, the utilities, getting electricity in bulk so that they can send it out to customers, for lack of any fancy terms, just to try to explain this a little bit for our audience. Now, this bill would change significantly how we actually go about getting electricity into the state. And you kind of alluded to it. You buy it when it's at its lowest cost and not at a fixed time when it might be low and it might be high.
Back in 1999, when we changed the system to one where the utilities no longer own power plants, the way to get to purchase electricity by for standard service customers, again, 80% of residential customers remain on standard service. So your listeners, 80% of them on average are getting their electricity through Eversource or through UI in something called standard service. And 50% of businesses do the same. That was never anticipated back when we deregulated. We believe a small percentage of customers would not go out into the market. That hasn't happened. It hasn't worked. And so we continue, and when we figured that small percentage, this archaic, inefficient way of buying was thought to be okay. But because so many customers have remained getting on the system of getting their electricity by standard service, the fact that we continue 25 years later to buy in this inefficient way where, as you said, it's set by a schedule, but the way to actually do it and the way it's done by this organization, CMEC, which is Groton, part of Norwalk, Norwich, Wallingford, although they're not part of that same system, these towns get their electricity by a couple of people who sit at a desk and every day look for opportunities of when to buy and when not to buy. And they use all kinds of tools and strategies to do that. What we do for standard service, Morgan, is we put out a bid 4, 5, 6, 7 times a year, and these big wholesale companies out of New York and other places, they bid for the right to supply us with electricity, filled with profit, filled with risk that they want to get compensated for, in no way aggressive, and we take the lowest of those bids and average them with all the other bids that were done previously, and that's how we get. So, as you said, and back in 2022, during the Ukraine war starting, natural gas prices went way up. They had 4 auctions, and the price averaged at 24 cents a kilowatt hour. People were outraged. Your listeners remember this. And yet very few people left standard service. Very few people. For whatever reason, it hasn't worked where the market is attractive enough for customers to want to shop and look for electricity. So that model of buying, as you said, by a calendar date, which is it's like, would you go into the supermarket and buy peaches in the middle of winter at $3 a pound? Most people pass them by. When the summertime comes and they're 99 cents a pound, $1.29 a pound, we buy peaches. Connecticut is buying on a set stage, set calendar schedule, and we come to winter and we buy, and it's like buying the peaches in the winter, irrespective of whatever the price is. It's ridiculously inefficient and costly to every customer who remains on standard service. And so what we call for is reform to that, to bring the model where we have our own people sitting there and identifying opportunities for the best interest of ratepayers, for the best interest of our economy, to do this the right way. And that is what this bill will do, and do it quickly so that we can get away from the current system that we have.
Transmission is another major component of this. July 15th, 2024, Connecticut met its peak demand for last year. Usage was 6,000 megawatt hours, but the average for the rest of the year is somewhere around 3,000. So we have a system that's built for the 6,000 megawatt hour plan, okay, and we're therefore billed for the rest of the year to meet that demand for one day of the year. How does this bill change that?
For your listeners, Morgan knows his stuff. Those two numbers he just cited, not a lot of people remember that, but it's true. 6,000 megawatt hours back last July 15th, peak hour, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. But on an average day throughout the year, it's about 3,000 that we use. It's like building a six-lane highway, we only use three. It's like a restaurant where you build a kitchen for the big wedding you have once a year, but the rest of the year you use about a quarter or a fifth of the kitchen. Makes no sense. But we do nothing to mitigate this in terms of how that peak hour, the peak time of the year, which is summer, air conditioning, heat wave, those things drive electricity demand way up. And we do nothing to try to curtail that. This bill does. This bill calls for time of use rates, meaningful time of use rates for the first time in our history, where customers would be given signals. They would know between 4 and 7 p.m. weekdays, don't use power. Curtail your use if you can't entirely stop. Curtail it. We will invest in batteries to help customers who can't curtail. But if you do curtail during those hours, let's say you decide I'm not going to use any electricity or I'm going to severely limit my use in those 4 to 7 hours. By the way, the rest of the hours of the week, of the month, the prices will be very low, let's say 9 cents. And then on those 3 hours, it's 27 cents. If you do that, if you curtail during those 3 hours, use your power in the other hours, you're going to lower your bill. You will, for the first time, have control over your cost. We're going to be working on other parts of the bill for you to lower your costs, but this will give you control. It will also, when you curtail during those hours, help reduce transmission and distribution costs, because those costs are also related to the fact that we have runaway demand for a very few hours of the year that we continue to build towards.
I think that this falls under transmission, Senator. The amount of kilowatt hours that we use in the system at a time where people are using more solar electricity, it's being stored in batteries, and also we're being told to conserve. All of this is good, but if we go back to 2006, you have a pretty stunning number compared to the amount of electricity that we're using now, and you say it's a problem.
That's right. In 2006, the system, UI and Eversource combined, we used 30 million megawatt hours in sales. That number doesn't mean much to anyone. But in 2024, last year, we used 19,600,000 megawatt hours, a full one-third reduction. Why is that important? Because rates and cost, but rates are a function of cost divided by revenue or sales. Because of solar in particular and conservation investments, sales have declined for 15 straight years. But costs continue to rise. Just the nature of the business of utility infrastructure, costs rise. It used to be the opposite was true, that revenues were growing, our economy was growing, and sales were growing. And so we could have different costs embedded into the bill, but they'd be absorbed by more revenue. As long as you have more revenue than you have costs, rates will fall. The reason why we're in this jam we're in now is because for 15 years, sales have been falling at a precipitous rate. Last year, 24, significant decline, and costs continue to rise. And solar is playing a big part of that. Why is that, Morgan? Because we're not harnessing solar in a manner that helps us. When does solar operate? When the sun is shining in the middle of the day. And so what has happened is we see this big drop in demand in the middle of the day because solar absorbs that. But then at come 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the evening, solar is waning in terms of its effectiveness. We have to ramp up what we call peakers. These generation plants are called into service Many of them are very inefficient. Many of them are dirty, and they're costly. And so this, we have to figure out how do we have unmitigated growth in solar. You see it in every neighborhood now. And you have companies that testified in front of the legislature, in front of the bill, the public hearing on this bill. Some of these companies have 300 employees, 200. There's a lot of, they're doing a lot of solar to have that many employees. I'm not in any way being critical of solar. We have to manage it within our system so it works for us, not against us. Right now, in many respects, it's working against us. Growing kilowatt hour sales is paramount. How do we do that in the bill? I'll say this quickly. There are two areas that we focus on in particular. One is not making anyone buy an electric vehicle, but decreasing the amount of time it takes to charge your vehicle. For the longest time, the concerns about electric vehicles was range anxiety. How far can I go before I have to charge, and can I find the charging station? What we do with the bill is we support the infrastructure needed to get that kind of energy to the charging station. Right now, they cannot support that level of charge. The second thing we do is we will support the installation of heat pumps in your home. Electricity is far more efficient than oil or natural gas in terms of the conversion of the fuel source to useful energy. And so if you put a heat pump in your home, if you were a 700 kilowatt hour customer, you get an electric vehicle, you're now an 1100 customer. But if you get a heat pump, you're now a 2100 kilowatt hour customer. You say, well, that's going to increase my bill. Not if we're spreading this over the entire system, where now we have so many more kilowatt hours, then sales are increasing. Costs will drop. This is where we believe we'll get the additional 20%. And by the way, this is what the Commissioner of Environmental Protection has been pushing for, but they have fallen behind in their goals, the 2020-30 goal of carbon emissions. We will get them back on track and exceed those numbers, not by force of law, but by creating an environment, the incentives for folks to want to do this, and get the benefit of it, because they'll be contributing to the process of lowering electricity rates throughout our state.
Senator, I really appreciate your time this morning. This is Democratic State Senator John Fonfara of Hartford talking about the bill that he's put forth to help lower electric rates in Connecticut should it pass. Is there anything else that you'd like to mention and add that we didn't get to?
Do your own homework. If you believe that this is a viable, meaningful, a thoughtful approach to reducing our costs, your costs, contact your legislator. And I'm sure once this call is done, 5 minutes later, I think, geez, I should have said this or that. But you've given me, Morgan, in your program, enormous time to lay these issues out. And I just hope that that enough legislators will put the time in as well, because they'll be able to go home to their constituents and say, when asked, what have you done about my electricity bill? They can say, this is what we're doing with your electricity bill, as opposed to, well, not a lot we can do, or, you know, the solutions, will take time, 5 years for this or 5 years or 10 years for that. That's a disservice to everyone. So I thank you so much.
Senator Fonfara, thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate it. And I'll be following this as it plays out at the state capitol. We might talk again, and I hope we do.
We'll be in touch.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.